So the next couple of verses is what we'll cover. And you're going to like these because they talk about household life. And how to. Texts 36 and 37 talks about money and household life. All right. So Narada's still speaking. And he's wrapping up, making some concluding remarks about the literature that Vyasa should write. He's also explaining the how-to, the execution of that teaching. So, in practical way, just listening to Prabhupada describe the distinction between jnanam and vijnanam, knowledge and practice. He was giving the example of chemistry. There's the theory, and then you go to the laboratory and you do your chemistry lab, and that's practical. The textbook, theoretical, then practical. Giving some nice examples even in just worldly arena. So, jnanam is the understand that we're spirit, soul, not this body, and vijnana is we live our life that way in our practical activity. So, that's what this verse is about. This is performing duties according to the orders of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One constantly remembers him, his name, and his qualities. So it's certainly possible to do things that Krishna recommends and your mind's in the wrong place. You can be performing arti to the Lord, and your mind's in the gutter. It's possible. Or you could be chanting the holy name and your mind is somewhere else. Not only quite possible, it's quite common. So, this is putting the two things together. The under the order of Krishna and remembering from whom the order has come. And the purpose is to fulfill the order of Krishna, to connect with Krishna through that instruction. Prabhupada gives this example of a drowning man or someone at the bottom of a well and someone that's at the top of the well, not somewhere in between. He's on safe ground. He lowers a rope or a stick. Says, "Grab hold. Who are you?" "Never mind who I am. Grab hold." Just grab hold. And by taking hold, then the person on the other side can pull one out of the well or that drowning situation. So the instructions are like the rope. And the person extending the rope is Krishna or representative of Krishna on behalf, means on behalf of Krishna, it's Krishna. The instructions are to take us out. So one who performs duties according to those instructions, because that's what Narada said he did. He received some instructions from the sages. And he was very submissive. He followed those instructions. And then he had certain realizations, like, well, some nice realizations. He expressed it so nicely. "I'm not this body" kind of realizations. Let's share what he wrote. "As my taste developed," this is Narada speaking to Vyasa, I could realize that it was only my ignorance that, in my ignorance, I had accepted gross and subtle coverings. For both the Lord and I are transcendental. So that wasn't theoretical. He was realizing. So what made the difference between the theoretical and the realization? Application. He followed the instruction. He remembered the sages. He remembered the instruction. He remembered the message. He applied the message. And then he had some realizations. Vigyan. So, purport, Prabhupada writes, an expert devotee of the Lord can mold his life in such a way that while performing all kinds of duties, either for this life or for the next, he can constantly remember the Lord's name, fame, qualities, etc. It's not that while you're at your computer in the office, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and you do that all day long. Come on into the office, I have to talk to you. But it's fulfilling, and it's, so that's this dovetail requires the connection with the Supreme, is the idea. The order of the Lord is distinctly there in the Bhagavad Gita. What's that order? One should work only for the Lord in all spheres of life. Then Prabhupada goes through paraphrasing 529 Bhagavad Gita. He is the proprietor. Then he takes this principle of proprietorship in Vedic sacrifices. So, next he's going to go to worldly, just everyday life, but even doing sacrifices according to Vedic rituals. There is propitiation to various devas. But if it's done properly, the very first mantra is recognizing the bhokta of the yajna. I was at the, the Hindu temple of Nashville one time. It was around Rath Yatra time, and they invited me to come to speak something about Lord Jagannath, because they were going to have their first annual Jagannath Rath Yatra. So when I got there, there was a priest that was from all places, from Udupi. I mean, you know, like trained by Madhvacharya's teaching, where Krishna, not anything mixed, Krishna. And he was doing this ritual that's, you know, Ganesh Puja, this, them, and that one Puja. I was shocked. I told them afterwards. Because I had never attended anything like that before. But it started, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and then Ganesh, this thing, and that thing, and that thing, and that thing. And so afterwards I said, so Bhoktaram Yukita Pasam. Krishna is the Bhokta of that yajna. But, you know, I called them on it, you know, you're trained in Udupi. What are you doing? It's a living. But that's not how you were trained, and you know the difference between worshiping Krishna and what you just did. How can you do that? Oh, they needed a pujari. I know the mantras. And then something, you know, I'm teaching Krishna bhakti. The Vaishnava doesn't mix like that, but Prabhupada is putting that right in his purport. Even in Vedic rites, the Lord is the bhokta. And so that's how those Vedic rites work. The Lord is the bhokta, and because he's the bhokta, and you hear it enough times, at least the initial mantra is there, he's the proprietor. So what do you do when you know who is the proprietor? I mean, you're working in a bank. Prabhupada gives this example. You're the bank teller. Someone comes to deposit some money, and you're the bank teller. It doesn't go in your pocket. You're in jail if you do that. So much for the bank teller. So much for the deposit box. So much for me. You're in jail. It's illegal. So if you know, same, you know who the proprietor is in Vedic sacrifices. He's the proprietor. It's all for him. Someone else may be the manager, and someone else may be the accountant, and someone else may be this one, that one. But it's, you know, it's all under the authority of the proprietor, and he decides, and it all goes to the proprietor. Because he's the proprietor. So, in all activity, then, apart from such Vedic duties, even in our ordinary dealings, for example, in our household affairs, or in our business, or profession. Okay. Now we have to pay attention because we don't do Vedic rites, we do these other things. We must consider, as he starts with, the result of all activities must be given over to the Supreme Enjoyer, Lord Krishna. No one else but Lord Krishna can claim to be the proprietor of everything within his creation. A pure devotee remembers this constantly. And in so doing, he repeats the transcendental name, fame, qualities of the Lord, which means that he is constantly in touch with the Lord. The Lord is identical with his name, fame, etc., and therefore to be associated with his name, fame, etc., constantly means actually to associate with the Lord. So the paragraph started with in the workplace, and the paragraph ended with constantly chanting, remembering. So the gap is there's an instruction. We may not be constantly chanting Maha Mantra while in the workplace or talking to our colleagues. There was a godbrother of mine whose name was Ushik. And he wanted to take sannyas, so he wasn't qualified to be a sannyasi, so he gave himself sannyas. He's kind of a character. And he's the kind of person, he would be talking with you, and in between breaths he would say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So Prabhu is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We're going to speak to now about Narada's instructions, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. So that he would be constantly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. It was hard to have a conversation with Ushik Swami. He's eccentric. But he was taking the instruction literally, and he died in the streets of San Francisco just going to visit his sister, and I understand that he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna while he was walking on the streets of San Francisco. So he got the benefit of being a little fanatical on that instruction because it's sufficient. I mean, it's as Prabhupada writes, it's sufficient just to chant the holy name and hear the glories of the Lord. If that's not possible, then to dedicate our propensities and those things that are most near and dear to us unto his lotus feet in service to him. And so the propelling force or that which assists us in carrying out that instruction is our hearing and chanting activity. Paragraph. Now comes the money part. The major portion, so how we can fill this instruction, it's the instruction of Krishna as the bhokta. The major portion of our monetary income, not less than 50%, must be spent to carry out the order of Lord Krishna. So when hearing that instruction, one could think, oh, Swamiji was giving something very nice. But it's not practical. But, you know, Prabhupada was very practical, and he himself was a householder, and he would refer to Rupa Goswami. So I've been party to many discussions on this topic. What does that mean, 50%? mean, you can't live in the world with 50%. You can't do it. Taxes and kind of the cost of living, and practically you can't do it. So what's the percentage that the Mormons require? I think it's 10% before taxes. Before taxes. So those of you that pay taxes, think about it. 10% before taxes goes to the church. So we don't have a tithing system in ISKCON. We just have instructions. Little footnote over here is there's some discussions that are surfacing on the GBC level, international GBC level. It would be a good idea to have some kind of annual ISKCON membership thing internationally that goes to the local temple, and something goes to the continental, and something goes to the international. Not 50%, not even 10%, but something that's an annual membership. So you're an ISKCON member. You recognize ISKCON member. Maybe. How to do that so that you don't have all these legal things that haunt particularly America. But anyway, here's an instruction. I see a few householders here. So, does that mean, okay, 50% to carry out the order of Lord Krishna? Part of my carrying out the order of Lord Krishna is maintaining my family. 50% of my income to maintain my family is an instruction of Krishna. But down below, Prabhupada describes, Lord Chaitanya has taught us a very simple method of bringing wayward people to Krishna consciousness. He taught the lesson, for preaching the transcendental message through singing, dancing, and refreshment as such, 50% of our income may be spent for this purpose. So that's not just maintaining your family, that's the mission of Krishna. That mission of Krishna, the bringing conditioned souls back. Then Prabhupada explains, if we did this, he even says if only the leading and wealthy persons of the society agreed to spend 50% of their income in this way, in the service of the Lord, as it is taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is absolute certainty of converting this hell, a pandemonium, to the transcendental abode of the Lord. Like Prabhupada's discussion with one of the police officers in Chicago, Lieutenant Mosey or something like that, how to stop crime, why and what to do. So Prabhupada said, the government should help us. We'd have big kirtan and prasad distribution and watch the crime drop. But you won't do it because you have, secular, you can't give money to religion. So we have our own resources, we'll do it to our capacity. But really, government shouldn't have that policy. How much money are you spending to stop crime? How much money are you spending to stop drugs? How much money are you paying to, give security and protection to neighborhoods so they're safe? How much money are you spending? And is it successful? You're coming to us. You have people that are stopping all those things. And it's working. He gave a similar formula for factory workers. He said, instead of just squeezing your factory workers, first thing in the morning when they come to work, have a garanga hall, big hall, big kirtan, massive prasadam distribution, then put them to work. Then they'll be happy workers. They'll want to come to work on time every day. Nice kirtan. But they will not do. He gave a similar instruction in New York City. He even gave the name Goranga Hall. He said, people in New York, of course it's everywhere, but people in New York like kirtan so much because he was hearing stories about conquering the hearts of people through kirtan and prasadam distribution. Get a big hall. Just have kirtan early in the morning. before people go to work. They kirtan, distribute prasad, then they go off to work. Your Krishna consciousness will grow. And people will become Krishna conscious. Real estate's too expensive in Manhattan. But that's an instruction that Prabhupada gave. This is now speaking of mass, how persons who are qualified grihasthas, what can be done to help those that, you know, anybody that travels about, I travel about all the time and just amazed at how many people are zooming around, how many millions of people that don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. It's sad. When this recent travel that I made practically from coast to coast, the times that people ask me, they don't ask the question now, what used to be is, you know, may I ask you, are you with some religion? And yes, I'm with some religion. What is that religion? They don't ask that now. They say, are you a Buddhist monk? That's what they say. They say, my answer is, yes, I'm a monk, but I'm not a Buddhist monk. Oh, then what kind of monk are you? And they say, Hare Krishna. And they say, either one of two things. Oh, Hare Krishna, I thought you people were gone. Or they say, what's that? But during Prabhupada's time, he expressed that Hare Krishna has become a household word. People know Hare Krishna. How did they come to know Hare Krishna? Because so much was being spent for Harinam Sankirtan and Prasad distribution and those types of things. So people then come to know. No one will disagree to partake in a function where good singing, dancing and refreshment are administered. Everyone will attend such a function, and everyone is sure to feel individually the transcendental presence of the Lord. Why the feeling the presence of the Lord? The name of the Lord. The glories of the Lord being described, the prasad of the Lord. They'll feel the presence of the Lord. One of the seminars at the Festival of Inspiration was the power of prasadam. And someone afterwards was sharing with me some experience they had. In the south side of Chicago, they had some function on vegetarian cooking or something like that. And there was a black devotee that was describing this to me. Some big black lady came in, kind of like real attitude kind of lady. Even, you know, attitude with her own people, you know. Heavy. He was busy, so just, why don't you help yourself with some refreshments? And she, just in short, he told a longer version, but she came back, that was good! When's your next program? I'll take my name, I like your food, it's really good. Well, I had this experience in New York. We had Madhuha's Festival of India set up at places all over New York City. During a period of time when I didn't have to do what I do now, managing things. So, set up a number of places. One of them was at City Hall Park, you know, where the mayor's office is. And just there's a little peninsula protruding down Broadway and Wall Street area. So we set Madhuha's tents up there and had kirtan. And two guys the same day came up, said, you know, with his plate in his hand and eating, saying, you should just serve food. He said, you know you don't have a good reputation, but your food is good. You should just serve food. You get a good name. The other guy said the same thing. It just changes people. Their attitude may be negative, but they become positive. So like, how do you preach in your workplace? Prasadam. People that aren't necessarily positive can become positive. The meaning of, so it's agata sukriti. You haven't necessarily told them. This is prasadam. We've offered this to Krishna. Please take some. You just give them prasadam. It's powerful. Purifying. And sometimes people will ask, what's the ingredient? And then you can tell them. Well, we put this in that thing, but the special ingredient, I don't know if you want to know what it is. What's that special ingredient? Bhakti. What's bhakti? I never heard of that. Where do you get that? Then you explain. They go, oh, that's very nice. What are you going to bring next? You know, what do you bring tomorrow? You know how it goes. Or even just once a week, and then they're salivating by the time Monday comes and you're bringing something in. What is it? What is it? I've had devotees describe. You become very attracted to Krishna in the form of Krishna prasadam. And there's ways, by doing that, you're carrying out the mission. So the 50% thing, that's a mountain, isn't it? How do you climb that mountain? You can't just like, we just don't pay attention to it. Like that expression, the elephant that's in the middle of the room, we just don't talk about it. 50% rule. But, so leaving aside the percent part, just making sure that this is karma yoga, but it converts karma yoga into bhakti yoga if it's not just a duty and I want not to have the bondage of my fruitive work, and so I give something to Krishna so I get released from the bondage of the fruits of my work. But for the spirit of the mission of the Lord, then it becomes bhakti. And then naturally you think of the Lord by doing like that. It's not just a religious act, it's a devotional act. And then Prabhupada describes the direct activity of arranging for the preaching itself, besides fueling it, funding it. We must also arrange to preach this cult of devotional service. The Lord says, no one is more dear to me than him, the one who engages in the preaching work. Then he goes into another interesting area. So this is like how householders can be Krishna conscious in their everyday life. The scientific discoveries of the material world can also be equally engaged in carrying out his order. So how many times Prabhupada would describe the microphone, the dictaphone, technology, we use it, scientific discoveries in service of Krishna. The only condition for successfully executing such spiritual activities is, what's the rest of the sentence? Think of how Prabhupada would describe things in Bhagavad Gita purports. They must be conducted under the guidance of a pure devotee who is completely free from all mundane desires, fruitive activities, and dry speculations about the nature of the Lord. So this is, you know, this is Narada speaking. This is Prabhupada's purport, but it's purporting what Narada is saying. How do we ensure that all of our activities are according to the order of Lord Sri Krishna? We check in. We take direction from. We work under the authority of representatives of Krishna. And feeling that safety, that surety, that protection, that shelter, one can constantly remember, even in the worldly sphere of life. Then he speaks again. So not only we should be under that person who has that quality, but he also says the only condition is that one must give up the habit of dry speculation aimed at becoming one with the Lord. So, like this question you asked, what is bhakti? What is bhakti yoga? It's devoid of speculation, speculative tendencies. And until one comes to the position of pure devotion, even we hear the message of pure devotion from proper sources, we've got our filters. We hear what we want to hear. And we don't hear the 50% rule. We don't hear the things we don't want to hear. Just like it filters out. This part is good, and that part gets filtered out. So, even aside from monetary things, just like how are, like this discussion before about there's qualities that we have that they're unfavorable, but we don't even see them. So, because we have our filters, we're attached. We want to maintain those things that are unfavorable, at least some of them. At least some of them. It's only fair. So much for Krishna, so much for me. So much for Krishna, so it's only fair. Equal opportunity. So the guidance is to help us overcome that, our blind spots. We simply have to accept those instructions in toto and abide by the orders of the Lord. That will guide us in the path of perfection. One can remain in his own position. No one has to change his position. Especially in this age of variegated difficulties. Prabhupada's language is very beautiful. The only condition is one must give up the habit of dry speculation aimed at becoming one with the Lord. And so, speculation and sense gratification. Taking up our activities, remembering Krishna. So then, the last verse we're going to read is a Vedic mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi. It's text 37. Pradumna Nani Rudaya Namak Sankarshanaya Cha. Translation, let us all chant the glories of Vasudeva along with his plenary expansions Pradumna Aniruddha and Sankarshan. So there's four messages in the purport. First is Prabhupada says in the Pancharatra, Narayana is said to be the cause of all the expansions of the personality of Godhead, including this Chaturvyuha. And next, Prabhupada says this is a Vedic hymn or mantra, beginning with Omkar, Pranava. And thus, the mantra is established by the transcendental chanting process, namely, Om Namo, Dhimahi, etc. That was one paragraph. The Vedic mantra. A formal Vedic mantra right in the chapter. Then here's a little summary once again. The purport is, okay, our antennas are up because Prabhupada's do 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 do. The purport is any transaction, either in the field of fruitive work or empiric philosophy, which is not ultimately aimed at transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, is considered to be useless. This is again, the refrain is coming again. This naishkarmyam abhi achuta abhavam ekam. So, it's a strain in what is the Bhagavatam? It's teaching us. Anyabhilashitashunyam gyanakarmajanavratam in Vedic language. But all those things have some value. Karma, again, have their support or basis in bhakti. So when we add bhakti, then it becomes karma yoga. We add bhakti, it becomes gyan yoga. But they're to bring one to pure, unalloyed bhakti yoga. And there's the component of work. There's the component of knowledge. But that which carries it to the stage of perfection is bhakti, nurtured by this hearing and chanting process. Otherwise, useless, strong language. Oh, the Bhagavatam is strong. People don't like that. Useless. Oh, Swamiji is so... But Prabhupada would say, how can I say different than what the Bhagavatam says? Than what Krishna says? How can I say other? Naraji has therefore explained the nature of unalloyed devotional service by his personal experience in the development of intimacy between the Lord and the living entity by gradual process of progressive devotional activities. Progressive devotional activities, like beginning and then progressing, not both in quality and quantity. That's how our Krishna consciousness activity should progress. Ever gently but ever increasing quality and quantity. Because there's some taste. One wants more. Such progressive march of transcendental devotion for the Lord culminates in the attainment of loving service to the Lord, which is called prema. In different transcendental variegatedness called rasas or tastes. Such devotional services also executed mixed forms, namely mixed with fruitive work or empiric philosophical speculations. He just did a full circle in that paragraph. Just as Narada had explained previously through his own example and then summarized. So there's the highest and there's something that can bring the lowest to the highest. And if you, even you're the lowest, connect with the highest and it carries you to the highest position. Or in other language, who is the Bhagavatam written for? It's written for Paramahamsas, and it's also written for the most sinful people, victims of the age of Kali, and everybody in between. It's all inclusive. But it's the highest literature at the same time. Very merciful. Last paragraph, and we'll end. Now the question is raised by the great rishis, headed by Shonaka, regarding the confidential part of Sutta's achievement through the spiritual master. So now we're stepping back from Narada's discussion with Vyas, because the speaker is Sutta. Sutta is narrating what he heard from Shukadeva. And this mantra comes just right in the middle, at the end, kind of like making a conclusion of the statements of Narada. This mantra is addressed to the four deities, or the Lord with his plenary expansions. The central figure is Lord Sri Krishna, because the plenary portions are his aides de camp, British term. So it's like the general and the aides de camp. The Chaturvyuha are the aides de camp and Krishna is the general. The most confidential part of the instruction is that one should always chant and remember the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. So he's described this process of bringing the lowest to the highest and the highest become even further elevated. So all glories to the personality of Godhead. And so one should be in that consciousness by regular practice, regular hearing, and the dedication of all our activities. And then when you're in your office, you may not be able to call out loudly, Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam. But the spirit will be there. Because Krishna is at the center. And the aides-de-camp and the expansions of the aides-de-camp in the form of Purusha avatars and all that comes from the Purusha avatars, including your office. And the co-workers and all the machinery and all the intelligence and technology and Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi. The consciousness will be there. And the mantra is to invoke that consciousness carried into our activities. Okay. I thought we'd have a shorter class after prasadam, so we can all stay awake. No question.
It's actually a comment.
A comment, go ahead.
I made a connection from you and Indra really
well. Okay.
I'm reading this diary.
You're reading the diary, okay.
And on chapter 2 or 3, it said that when he travels, this person asked if he was a Buddhist, but he said that he was a Hare Krishna, and then the opposite person said that I thought those were extinct.
An extinct species. Yeah. I got a few people to say, oh yeah, I remember you guys. I didn't know that you were still around. That's another one. But that was an older generation person. Well, you live in Michigan, so you people know. You know how many between here and Detroit? How many people live, and how many of those people know Hare Krishna? And what to do about that? So we have to. You know, we need to incubate our own Krishna consciousness. That takes time. That takes concentration. And we also have to propagate Krishna consciousness. And that takes time. It takes resource. And anyway. We need some more brahmacharis. Because brahmacharis, they like going out in Harinam Sankirtan. And the more we have brahmacharis going out in Harinam Sankirtan, the more we have brahmacharis. That's the extinct species. Be nearing extinction. But the places where they are doing, they're existing, it's growing. There are some places where it's growing. So, as grihasthas, this is the message that Prabhupada is giving, to directly participate in or facilitate those who are. Anything else? Thank you for that comment.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Normally we find like even if we identify some bad tendencies or thoughts in our mind, sometimes we feel hesitant to come out with that thought and express it to other senior devotees or pure devotee, and basically we are masking ourselves, saying and acting as if we are in a pure state. So how do we overcome that inhibition, or how do we open out our heart in a transparent way to...
Good point. Trust. I mean, one thing is, there's this American expression, we don't just hang out our dirty laundry. So it's not that anywhere and everywhere to everybody at all times, it's blah, 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 here's my dirty laundry. But at least for each devotee, there should be someone who you can disclose anything, everything. And part of the exercise of disclosure is, as you just expressed, we're not pretending. Part of deceiving others is feeding our own self-deception. As I described yesterday, even before Brahma populates the universe with living entities, he creates self-deception. And then the living entities carry on deceiving themselves. Of course, he's meaning on a fundamental level of who we really are. But you take that fundamental self-deception, it's really easy to go into the other types of self-deception. And then it's really easy to go into the other types of other deceiving others. Doing it not maliciously, kind of thoughtlessly. So, there should be for each devotee someone, at least one someone, who you can openly share anything and understand that person is your well-wisher, that person is not going to judge you, and, you know, maintain confidentiality, but actually be able to help you. And even the act of disclosure is in itself a help. It's like, now I don't have to be hiding. Now there can be some direct assistance coming from someone other than myself and my mind. The mind is generally not our best friend in those circumstances. Part of the problem. So my the positive statement, third time, is see that there's at least one person in your life where you share those things with progressively. And as you see, here's something that I just set up this exercise with one devotee who several of us understand he's in a self-deceiving position, and to secure that self-deception, he is finding there's something over there that's the problem. When it's self-deception, that's the problem. So, one of the exercises, there were two, but one of them was with that devotee, with the person who he has some trust with, make a list, however long the list is, of things that would be, his spiritual life would be better if it was minus that something. Like, you know, overcoming an obstacle. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's such an important thing that he writes about it in his Tattva Viveka, I believe. Like one of the verses is explaining how to overcome obstacles. He goes so far as to say it may take 5 years to overcome one obstacle, to do it thoroughly. And he gives some simple procedure. But you know, so then he says, you know, when you're over a period of 50 years, maybe it's you've overcome 10 obstacles. But if you get help, then it's easier. So make a list of things, you know, unwanted things. If you were to be without, it would be, you have a healthier spiritual life. So then part two is pick one of them you think you can do without. And with that, with some help, remove it. And then set some timetable. And then work on it, and then check in. And sure enough, if you focus, it's doable. Wow, a success. Let's go back to that list now. Where's another one? Just continue. So you can have a series of successes, and then things that are more deeply rooted. You're now No, you have the formula for how to overcome things that are unwanted. But you can't even go down that procedure if you don't have that person that you can confide in. And there may be something in the initial list that you just choose to not put. Those are the special little secrets. And what to speak of the ones I don't even know about, like this question before. But at least go down the path of, you know, taking assistance from capable people, the persons who you trust. It maintains confidentiality, but will also be your well-wisher and help you overcome. It's a good feeling. It's called the loving relationship. It's very nice. And then that can easily expand the circle of loving relationships so that other persons can also be part of that kind of exchange. Expanding the network of loving relationships. That's Krishna consciousness. Very nice. Okay. Yeah. Microphone. If it's two comments, if it's a propensity, how are you going to stop it? If it's just a diversion, it's easy to stop it. If you have something better. Or say it the other round, if you don't have something better, diversions will fill up your time. Raso Varjam Raso Pyasya Pram Drishtva Navartate. So that's one comment. Does it have application in service to? I'll give a practical example, just like with art. 2 days ago, I was at a home program in Chicago, and one of the Chicago congregation girls is Swati Menon. She's 15, soon to turn 16. She read something about art. They're giving art seminar in Vrindavan for 1 month. Riti, one of the best artists, and some other superstar artists are going to train young artists in Krishna in painting for Krishna. So she's, you know, not, she's just a teenage girl, but she doesn't have any formal art training. But she's a serious sadhaka. So she spoke with me, and 2 days later, she's been accepted to that art school. And her father said, it's okay, she can go as long as someone is there to kind of like, you know, someone who they know would look after her. Because she's just 15, soon to turn 16. She'll be 16 when she goes to Vrindavan to take that course. So she wants to connect it with Krishna's service and get trained by Krishna's devotees. So see if there's part of the thing is desiring, and then when we desire, Krishna sends. Or if he doesn't send, then it's just like your question, do we develop it? The question I would ask is, for what? Because I like doing it, or because it has some relation to Krishna? So see the relation to Krishna, then connect it with Krishna. Or if it doesn't have relation to Krishna, if it's just like a time waster kind of a thing, then but then like this other example I gave you of somebody that's doing their PhD and they have this condition and they just get, you know, their whole nervous system gets all like overloaded at a certain point in time. So this other thing is they find it's very relaxing. I said, you know, put a tulsi tree in your garden. Because it's in their home, it's indoors. Little garden in their home. Grow tulsi along with the other things. And then the flowers you can offer to your deity. And so connect it to Krishna. And then this other question about perfecting, then you do it very nicely. Very nicely. Because it's for Krishna. Then back to the prior question. You may not have a clear sense of how to do that any more than than Swati had. How do I? But Krishna gave some opportunity. She had that consciousness, how to use this for Krishna. Krishna is going to reward that sincerity. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada leads out.